You may feel like you're old school, but all of your customers are not. So you need to stay up on the times of what is going on. And if you are wanting to continue to grow your business, it's the younger generations. It's the, everybody's technology savvy now. So I think, you know, there's no old school in anything at this point in life anymore. You can't revert back to, oh, well, we used to do this.
Welcome to the Lion's Den, hosted by Lance Bachman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Lion's Den. I'm excited to have Heather Arlinghouse, co-owner with her husband, Brian, of Arlinghouse HVAC Heating and Plumbing. They do. And they've grown their company the last 2 years from about $9.5 to $10 million to over $20 million. She's a woman leader in an industry pretty much dominated by men. Heather, thank you so much for being on the show. And I appreciate you telling your story and your growth. And it's been fantastic. Thank you so much, Heather.
Super excited to be here today, Lance.
So, Heather, let's just jump into this. You know, how do you get into this business pretty much dominated by men?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it all started with my husband. My husband has been in this industry for 35 years now. Started as a summer job for him, and he loved it. Worked for a lot of great companies and a lot of companies that he'd never go back to. So we started Arlinghouse about 13 years ago, and it's been awesome. We started plumbing. We did HVAC for, you know, those 10 years, and now we're into plumbing and love that side of the business as well.
You know, you got into plumbing, which is obviously a very easy part to get into with HVAC, right? They go hand in hand, right? I mean,
yeah.
What made you decide that? Were you not growing fast enough that you look at that as an avenue of, hey, listen, this is another profit center for us?
I think for us, it was more that our customers were already going somewhere else for their plumbing needs. And we wanted to be that one company that they could get all of their needs, HVAC and plumbing, handled by one person. They're already experiencing us. They already trust us. Why not do that as well?
You work with your husband. You have kids with your husband. You co-parent together. I mean, and I'm not being rude. You know, everyone knows Jolynn helped found one. I see help me. I work with my sister. It's, you know, there's ups and downs and everything. How is it working with your husband day in and day out, parenting and taking all the other influences? Would you recommend it to other people? Good days.
Oh, you know what? It is definitely a unique dynamic for us. He is more the, I guess, the visionary, I should say. He is a great communicator, great speaker, great leader amongst our employees and our team, whereas I am more the implementer. Let's get it done. Let's figure out how we're going to get it done. So it works really well for us. We learned, I don't know, probably about 5 years ago that you can't turn on and off the business. Like we tried, hey, let's go home and not talk about work at all. Well, that's not possible. So I think we've just gotten better at that over the last few years of being able to continue to have a great relationship. We have a ton of fun together. We enjoy the wins, which is huge. Most businesses aren't able to enjoy the wins and appreciate them, which makes us appreciate each other even more.
You know, you're a woman in a male-dominated space. You've had a lot of wins, as you said, right? You've done a lot of great things. How does that feel? I mean, you work with probably 99% men industry, maybe 90%, yeah. Right? I mean, you're looked as a leader in the industry. Can you talk about that? Do you take that on with pressure? Because I know you're always bringing people down to your shop, letting them see what you're doing. Can you talk to me about being a woman in a pretty much male-dominated space?
Well, you know, when I first got into this with Brian, again, he's been in the business forever. And so I was just that wife that never asked questions when you're coming home, if you're on a call, like those are just certain things. Like it was just what we did. So coming into this industry, I think that was really unique for us because I was already ready for that. I knew what was going on. I knew the hard work that we had to put into it. And then also finding the right employees to make sure that we fit that culture and what we were trying to provide for our customers. But I think the biggest difference for us is I am a woman. 87% of our customers that we go into every single day, the woman is at home. She's the one that's making the ultimate decision. So I think I can really relate to that. And we can, you know, teach our employees of how to be able to communicate with the women of the home. And I think that is kind of what makes us a little bit more unique because we know how we want to be talked to. We don't want to be talked to that, you know, on that techie side. We want to know how it's going to affect our home, our children, our life. So I think that's the difference and why it's, you know, so unique for us.
If you like this content and you're trying to grow your business, follow me at Lance Bachman and Lance Bachman Digital on Facebook, LFG, time to grow.
You know, you hired your first female employee. Can you talk about that? How does that make you feel? Can you tell us that process? Why her? Was there anything unique about her? Can you tell the audience what made you go down that road?
Oh my goodness. So I think that's one of my proudest moments. So I've spent the last 13 years trying to decide whether or not to bring women into our workforce. And I think for me, it was more of being scared of, oh, they're going to be at somebody's house by themselves, out late. I got in my own way. And we had been around some other companies that had had some lady technicians, and we actually got referred, Audrey, who now works with us. She had been in HVAC school through her high school, and we met her instantly, and she was remarkable, just so competitive. She wanted to be at that top. She wanted to learn quickly. She's not one to sit around and just take what people are telling her. She wants to go out in the field and put it, you know, do it with her own hands and just continue to learn more. And she has been amazing. So super excited about the possibilities of where we're going. Our open interview nights, we've had lots of ladies come in. You know, at that time, it just wasn't the right fit for us. But now we know, and we're excited about the possibilities.
I mean, so let's talk about this. You've been one with One SEO, I think, for about 2 years now, right? This is a digital marketing show. We're going to talk about digital marketing, about marketing overall, because you do a lot of traditional, or you used to. I know you're doing some. Can you talk about your experience and what it was like when you met One SEO? Were you nervous? Did you were with another company, if I remember correctly, for years. Can you talk about that process and that situation?
Absolutely. So we were attended a Nextstar event, and Lance, you were the one presenting with Google, which was pretty amazing to be on that stage with them and talk about what you're doing. And just your voice intrigued me, meaning you were so confident, you were so competitive. Everything about you was inspiring. You're always looking towards, you know, the future, which was huge for me because we are always trying to stay ahead of our competition. So we met you on that stage. I texted you literally, I think a couple hours later, you offered to meet us. We got on the phone right away. We met your entire team. And I will tell you that there is nobody out there that will outwork your team. And that is huge to me because I feel like I'm one of the most competitive people out there, but meeting everybody on your team, everybody works that way. And they believe in the same values and the same vision. And that's huge to me. It's hard to find that.
How, you know, and I appreciate that. And I am competitive. Everyone knows that. So I want to be competitive with, though. I tell people I'm probably the most laid back guy in some ways, but if it means something to me, I'm going to be very competitive. You know, how's the results been in 2 years? When I met you, you were doing about $9 million. You're doing about $20 million now in 2 years. Has digital marketing, how's that transformed your business? How's the results been?
It has been great. I think that you guys have truly educated us on trying to figure out how to communicate better to our team and what our team is looking for. I'm amazed by how much business there is in the pay-per-click world, the LSA world, the Facebook world. And I mean, your creative team, I mean, this isn't about Lance, all Lance, but your creative team has definitely taken us to the next level and make us outthink, you know, ourselves. And that's what's huge.
You know, when you talk about the space is always changing, right? And I tell people this all the time, a lot of people just think you're going to hire an agency and it's just set it, forget it, and goes. Can you talk? Because you're involved. Like you meet my team once a week or once every week. Correct?
Yes, once a week. Just got off the phone with them.
Once a week you meet my team. Can you talk about why those meetings are so important and you just can't set it and forget it, that you're going to have problems, things are going to be good, things got to be adjusted. Can you talk about that process? It's not always, because people just think it's great. They hire us and we pour water and it grows. It just doesn't work that way, does it? Can you talk about that process?
Yeah. So when we first met, that was one of the commitments that you had made that we'd have you, I think you had even said monthly calls and then it went to bi-weekly, but we'd always done weekly calls with your team. And I truly feel like we could probably, now don't tell your team this, we could probably move to bi-weekly or monthly calls because they do such a great job. But for us, like we are literally sending them our call counts, our call reports, our lead details. They're in our Service Titan. And I think for us to talk weekly about those things and have the control and them understand the needs of our employees and where we're at, you know, we run a 3-day call board and your team knows all about that all of the time. And they're more interested in us and making sure that we have the right opportunities, the right calls to be able to make fit for our employees and our business.
You know, you brought up the 3-day call board. You saw your line reporting, you seen line logic. You've been involved. You gave me feedback. Yeah. You were one of about 20 clients that actually got heavily involved and say, listen, this would be better for my company if this was there. And we adjusted it for you. Can you talk about why that 3-day job? Because a lot of people in your industry do not use the 3-day job board, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Can you talk
about it's important. It is. So we've been doing the 3-day call forward for about 5 years now. And what's important is, you know, I'm assuming that people that don't do the 3-day boards, I'm hoping they're doing weekly boards or something like that, but I doubt it. It's important to know the percentage of calls that you have on your board for your technicians that are either going to be opportunity calls, demand calls, maintenance calls, and you have those out in front of you to make sure you're getting the right tech to the right call every single time. So we do that within HVAC, we do that within HVAC install, and then plumbing as well. So if we don't have that data and people don't know where you're at, you're kind of just shooting in the wind and hoping that it works.
You know, you saw line reporting, we discussed it. What's your overall thoughts on line reporting and line logic?
I love it. I love it. I think for us, gosh, I wish Service Titan would have figured all of this out a long time ago. But I just think you guys get it. You know how many opportunity calls that we need, and then we can adjust our budget, overall budget to that every single day.
I'm surprised that you said Service Titan, no one else figured out. Because I mean, listen, I'm not saying weather should dictate everything in the HVAC business and plumbing business. But if it's 105 degrees out there, 100 degrees out there, you got to know what you've done over the last 5 years during that weather locally based off your own results. Yeah. That's, you know, that's game changing. And you can forecast that for 2 full weeks of what you need to spend.
Yeah. And just even over the last week or so, you know, the weather hasn't been great for us. I think it's going to be 79 degrees. I just told the gals that it's rained 14 days, you know. So we were able to look at that and kind of just making our maintenance calls now and making those calls. We started making those calls last week and it allowed us to be able to do that, knowing where we were going and what we needed to do and accomplish. So it changed our whole call center, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing technology and we're proud that we built it. I mean, shout out to Anthony Kane, you and BJ helped me build it. So I appreciate that. Heather, let's talk about this, right? You have a lot of different things going on in your space. And one of the biggest challenges is that whenever I meet anyone in your service-based industry, no matter what it is, roofing, HVAC, plumbing is, I can't find people, right?
Yeah.
Right now, more than ever, the whole country is saying that, right? You can't find a bartender. You guys came up with something unique. Now, there's bigger companies out there that are private equity bought, that are owned, and they have their training centers. Can you talk to us about what made inspire you to start a university? You actually went through with it and you just had your first graduating class. Can you talk to us about that?
I can. So I don't want to say COVID pushed us into doing this sooner, but Brian and I had a dream of 5 years of starting a university. We got our team to start buying in, start thinking about it, because obviously that's an expense, an overhead expense of starting this university. And when COVID hit, Brian and I realized that we might have had some people on our team that weren't a great fit for Arling House culture-wise. Maybe they were a great technician or a great CSR, but it was just time to make some changes for us. So we started Arling House University. in January. We actually just hit our first graduation on June 8th of 7 technicians in the HVAC world. But we worked really hard. We took our old service manager, Nick Lace, and made him our Arlinghouse University instructor. So we put somebody full-time on payroll to be an instructor of the class. We used NextStar's NextTech Academy. It's a monthly thing that you pay for each employee. And it gives you the modules of what they should be learning in the HVAC world. We paid them $15 an hour. We wanted them to, that to be their only job that they had. That was a commitment.
Wait, hold on, stop 1 second. You paid them for the training too?
We paid them for the training. Yep. And I'll tell you why, because the last thing we wanted, and believe me, my husband did it. He worked and then he went to school for 4 years, three nights a week, 5 hours a day, learning HVAC to be able to get his licensing. And we went through a lot of that. So we told each other, okay, we don't want anyone else to have to worry about making money and also going to school. We need them to learn the HVAC world. So we did that. It was amazing. We had 7 students that graduated. The day they graduated, they walked into brand new trucks, pink trucks at that. Yes. So we had already ran them through the service system. We created the culture with them. They're committed to us. They love it. And they're out there doing amazing just by following a process.
So let's talk about that real fast. You said culture now probably 10 times.
Yep.
I love the pink too. So you tell everybody how the pink story happened, but let's talk about culture first. Let's talk about why culture is so important to you.
You know, and I can say this because I'm with my husband more than I'm not at all times because we work together. But I think the culture has to be really important in any type of business that you own, because we are together more often than most of us are with our families. And if they're having a bad work day or they're not happy where they're at and they're going home and taking that to their families, they're obviously, their families aren't going to be happy that they're working at Arlinghouse as well. So I think we hold each other to a higher standard on a daily basis. We follow our mission statement. We don't have anybody do anything that we wouldn't do. We create these relationships with our customers and send out the right employees to their home. They feel safe. They know that they're getting the best possible service and they know that they come from Brian and I. So I think the culture is just so important, especially these days. You know, everybody's trying to find that work-life balance, and in the trades world and in our industry, that's really hard. So if they're not loving what they're doing, they're not going to do a great job for you.
You know, let's tell the viewers real fast how you came up with pink as your colors. And everybody wears pink. Every technician, just so you know. Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen you guys rolling 50 deep and you all got pink shirts on.
Yes.
So can you?
So we were actually at a NextStar event and a speaker came in and you know, he talked to 800 of us. And again, then we were like green and blue. So we had different color shirts on than everybody. But he stood on the top of a platform and he said, hey, if all you guys do the same, sell the same, and it's the same product, same presentation, what makes you different? I have a $5,000 price, a $10,000 price, and a $15,000 price. I'm going to go with the cheapest one because you all look the same, you all talk the same, and you present the same. So literally, Brian got on the plane that day and he's like, all right, we're going to pink. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay, I mean, purple's my favorite color, but if we want to go to pink, that's fine. And literally he got on Amazon and found a pink Nike shirt, which was outrageously expensive. It was like $58. And I'm like, this is not going to work. So he took, we created this pink color that we have. And that's what we do. So people remember us and, you know, you can never, I don't want to say you can't do anything wrong, but you are definitely held to a higher standard because everybody knows who you are.
100%. You know, let's talk about this. There's been an evolution in the tech, you know, space. It's not just NextStar, but they're helping lead the way. Other people are, is that people don't realize how much money can be made as being a plumber, HVAC. I mean, more money in that industry than so many other industries. And people tend to look down on people in that industry or they have these different views. Can you talk about how that industry is changing? And let's be realistic, private equity firms are some of the brightest people in the world. They're buying them left and right up for a reason. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about that evolution and what you're seeing?
So I think for us, we did things a little bit different. And I just want to talk about that. So we have four kids. Our oldest is going to be a senior in high school. Our youngest is going to be a third grader. Yeah, I know. Huge difference there. But I think for us, we truly saw the difference because Dylan, our oldest, wasn't excited about college. Quite frankly, we have to like wake him, drag him out of bed to even get him to go to high school. And I think that's when our minds started shifting because Brian and I were always like, well, our children are going to work their way up in this business if they're interested in it. And that just kind of changed. We were seeing all these people around us that their kids had gone to college for 4 years and couldn't find a job, but yet they had all of this debt. So we started going to the local high schools where we're at and just started having conversations with the counselors of, hey, do you have any students that just school's not their thing? And that's really what has transpired over the last 2 years. And I also just think, you know, parents probably are getting a little bit smarter that maybe school is just not their student, their kids' things.
You know, you see a lot of change, like your inventory system. Like you guys came up and said, I'm going to be innovative. Can you talk about this? Your supplier. They deliver all, I mean, that you're one of the few people that said to your supplier, you're going to deliver all of our stuff directly to the job. We are not going to have people in a warehouse, inventory in, inventory out. Can you tell us what made you make that decision and what was the process? Because that's a big decision to make.
It is. So when we moved into this building, and I guess we've been in here for about 5 years, we didn't create a huge warehouse space because we knew that, oh my gosh, we'd need huge amounts of warehouse square footage to be able to hold all of our equipment that we needed, doing 8 to 9 to 10 installs every day. That's a ton of systems that have to come in and out. So in working with our supplier, 2J Supply, out of Cincinnati, Ohio, who are great partners of ours, we just asked, is it possible for you just to deliver straight to the customer site? And they're like, why not? And that has helped us tremendously because not only does it help the installer, who, by the way, is always on a job 10 to 12 hours a day. There's never any job that's 6, 7, 8 hours. Not everything goes right all of the time. So it cut out time for them having to drive to the office. Now, mind you, they could live 45 minutes to an hour. And so they actually drop off everything to our customer's house that morning. So either the technician is there getting the system torn out and their equipment is already there, or it is arriving in that same time. So we're not wasting any time.
You know, you got to make decisions every day.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best decision you made as a business owner besides hiring one SEO, clearly? And what's the worst decision you ever made?
Oh boy, there's so many. Good at bad decisions. That's always where I think for us, in the beginning, when we first started the business, I think we weren't as open as we should have been with numbers and accountability and what our expectations are. So for me personally, that's probably the worst decision that we made because people want to be part of something bigger than what they are. Nobody will probably admit it. People want to be held accountable to where they need to be. You know, everybody wants to go in and get a raise and things like that. So unless they know where they need to be and how that ladder looks, they get uninterested. So we just really started doing that in the last 3 or 4 years. Of course, being a business owner, I was always nervous about the numbers because I was like, I don't want them to have to worry about that. That's why I own this business, because it needs to be on our shoulders. And that has really shifted our business. So that was my worst decision, but then also the best decision. Now everybody's on the same page. There's no gray areas. Not, you know, people aren't against each other. We're all working towards the same common goal.
You know, on the final roar, there's two final roar parts here. What would you say to a young woman watching this saying, you know what? I want to give a stab, but I know nothing about the HVAC industry, but I want to own my own company and go over. What would you say to that woman? What advice would you give?
Don't be afraid. Go out and get whatever you want. I mean, I talk with my daughter about this all of the time. She wants to be our first plumber. And I'm like, girl, you got like 10 more years. I'm going to have plenty of plumbers before then. So that's not going to work. I think just go out and explore, know your options. You know, when you're in high school, if you take high school, do some of those trade schools. Don't be afraid to do anything, because using your hands and moving are really important for your soul and your body to keep moving. And you know, that really wasn't an option unless you were playing sports and were competitive growing up. When you get into our world, I mean, the sky is the limit.
Next question for you on the final roar. Everyone in the HVAC industry and some of these service-based industries, they want to use keywords like old school and I do this, I don't know that. What would you say to them when you're having that digital marketing conversation? Should we do digital marketing? Should we not? What would you, and they want to say, I'm old school, I just don't understand it. What would you say to them? What advice do you give them?
You may feel like you're old school, but all of your customers are not. So you need to stay up on the times of what is going on. And if you're wanting to continue to grow your business, it's the younger generations. It's everybody's technology savvy now. So I think, you know, there's no old school in anything at this point in life anymore. You can't revert back to, oh, well, we used to do this. I catch myself doing that a lot. Well, I forgot. Why didn't we still do this? That's not what it's about. People are attached to their phones. They're attached to their iPads. I'm amazed, you know, by Zoom and you and I communicating today, how much has changed in the last 2 years. I mean, there is no old school left. You just have to bite it. You got to do it and you got to feel confident, but you got to also be involved as well. I mean, you have to set expectations and it has to be delivered upon. But you also got to be the one that does whatever the company says to do. I mean, one SEO, they give us a list of everything they need and we have to move pretty quickly, because our days change every single day.
Well, you heard it from Heather Harlinghouse. Heather, thank you so much for being on the Den. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lance. Take care.